Turn your Bibles to Book of Matthew, chapter 7. It is the start of football season. If you have a car with a Dallas Cowboys running back, a Cowboys linebacker, and a Cowboys defensive back, who's driving the car? How about the police? If you're in Dallas, where do you go in case of a tornado? You go to the Cowboys Stadium, because they never have a touchdown there. What's the difference between a baby and a Dallas Cowboys fan? The baby will eventually stop whining. Any Cowboys fans here today? Good, only Eagles fans. Amen. And you appreciate those jokes. Amen. Anyhow, we are continuing our study in forgiveness, the way God intended it. Forgiveness, God's way. And as we do, forgiving, we're talking about those who have hurt us the deepest. Forgiving those who have cut at our heart the deepest, and forgiving them the way God intended us to forgive them. And that is the way that He forgives us. We are to completely let them off the hook. We are to pray and ask God to bless them and to treat them as if they never hurt us in the first place. Amen? That's the way God forgives us, and that's the way He expects us to forgive others. In Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 1, God says that we are not to judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So we've been looking at forgiveness. And here we see God gives us our motive, why we forgive. We forgive in order that we are forgiven. Amen? Now, as important as it is to understand what forgiveness is all about, it's as equally important to know what forgiveness is not. And we started to look last week some of the things that forgiveness is not. And the first thing we looked at is forgiveness is not approval of what someone did to you. It's not approving of it. Listen, God never approved sin. Amen? God never approved sin, and He never, ever will. So just as God forgives us without approving of our sin, we have to do the same for one another. When we forgive, we're not saying that we approve of what you did. We are simply treating you the way God treats us. Amen? Secondly, forgiveness is not excusing what someone did either. It's not excusing. God will never make excuses for the sins of His people. And we see example after example in the Bible, from King David all the way through the great men and women of faith. God will never make excuses for the sins of His people, and we are never to cover for the sins of other people. Forgiveness is not excusing what someone did either. Thirdly, forgiveness is also not justifying what someone did. It's not justifying what they did to you. Now, justify, we need to understand the definition. Justify means to make something to be right, or to make something to be just. To make something right, or to make something just. Sin can never, ever be justified. Amen? Because if we justify sin, then we're saying that sin is right. So sin can never, ever be justified. That wrong that someone did to you can never be made right. Amen? So those are some of the things that forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is also not pardoning what they did to you either. Now, a pardon is a legal releasing of an offender from the consequences of what they did. Now, we hear pardon a lot of times in government, and the different government officials have the capacity to pardon someone. And what that means is they're legally releasing that person from the consequences of what they did. Forgiveness does not release someone from the consequences of their sins or their actions. Amen? That's not what forgiveness is. Fifth thing that forgiveness is not, and this is very important for us to understand. This is probably the hardest concept. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Okay? We need to understand that. There's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. There's a line between the two. Reconciliation requires both sides to agree to come together. Amen? The person you forgive may not want to see or talk to you anymore. Therefore, you can't be reconciled. Or on the flip side, maybe it's you that may not want to have a close relationship with that person that you have forgiven. Amen? So forgiveness is not reconciliation. Reconciliation means that the friendship that once existed has now been restored. That's reconciliation. I'll give you an example. When a husband and wife completely forgive one another, they reconcile. Amen? They come back together. They reconcile. However, if your spouse was unfaithful and they slept with your best friend, for instance, that friendship will probably never be the same. Amen? We all agree with that? So forgiveness is not reconciliation. Even after you completely forgave that friend, your relationship is not going to be the same. There may not be reconciliation there. It is possible, it's absolutely possible, to completely forgive an offender. That means absolutely not holding a grudge against them. Amen? We understand that? It is possible to completely forgive someone, not hold a grudge against them, and not reconcile. Amen? Sometimes we have personality conflicts with each other. Sometimes we just can't get past what a person has become. We absolutely need to forgive them. That means we don't hold grudges against them. We release them for what they did to us. However, it doesn't mean that we go spend Christmas and Thanksgiving with them either. Amen? You can absolutely forgive someone without reconciling. Now, ideally, yes, it's absolutely a wonderful thing if a relationship can be restored. No doubt about it. But we have to remember, in reconciliation, both sides have to be willing to come together. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing or not charging their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Now pay attention to verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now that's important for us to understand that last phrase. Be reconciled to God. Why are we commanded to do this? Think about that. God is commanding us here to be reconciled to God because of what reconciliation means. Reconciliation does not take place until both sides agree. Amen? Both sides have to agree. We know that Jesus went to Calvary's cross to die for every sinner. Amen? Jesus died for every sinner. However, not every sinner will be saved. Why? because both sides have to agree to be reconciled. Only those who agree to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, only those who agree to accept Jesus' sacrifice on their behalf, only those will be reconciled back to God or saved. Amen? So we can understand the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Forgiveness does not always mean reconciliation. Amen? What else is forgiveness not? It's also not denying what a person has done. Now, there's different forms of denying, and I want to touch on both forms. One is repression. Denying or repressing the fact that an offense took place is almost an unconscious act. Many people repress horrible things that have happened to them in the past. Some people, for a number of reasons, live in denial. That is, they refuse to admit or they refuse to come to terms with the reality of that horrible situation that happened to them. It could have been as a child, it could have been as a young adult, it could have been in recent years. It doesn't matter how far or how soon that is removed from us. A lot of people live in denial. And we have to understand it's absolutely a painful thought at times to face the facts of what happened, isn't it? A lot of folks have endured some horrific, horrific things. And it's understandable that facing facts is painful. And denial can seem like an easy way out. And unconsciously, many people repress the thought, repress what happened to them. And they put it back in their subconscious. But we need to understand that repression, denial on the unconscious level, will always have a negative consequence on our psychological well-being. It's not healthy for us to do it. Amen? It's not healthy for us to deny what happened, subconsciously or on the conscious level. But many times, most times, it's done involuntarily. It's done involuntarily. The subconscious does that because the pain is too great to bear on the conscious level. But we need to understand that repression does not and cannot change or remove the wound that happened to us. Amen. Repression or denial can never remove what happened to us. It cannot remove the hurt. It cannot remove the wound. No matter how far down in the subconscious mind, we try to push it and we try to forget about it. That horrible thing that happened will always come to the surface in one way or another. Study after study has been made on repression or denial of a traumatic event in people's lives. And scientifically speaking and medically speaking, it will always come to the surface many times through high blood pressure. Sometimes it's through anxiety. Sometimes it's through irritability, and it can even lead to a heart attack. Somehow or another, it's going to come to the surface. Many victims of horrific events repress the memory of that event. That's because the unconscious mind or the conscious mind cannot accept that a family friend or a family member or a relative did such a thing to them. We certainly can understand why that would happen. So that victim chooses to live in denial. They choose to repress that thought. What we need to understand, and as we tie it into forgiveness, complete forgiveness, forgiveness the way God intends it, does not involve repressing or denying what happened. In fact, it can only happen, true forgiveness can only come after we come to terms with the reality of what happened. Amen?
We can't forgive somebody unless we truly understand exactly what they did to us. It can never come through denial. It only comes through admitting exactly what happened. Seventh thing that forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is also not blindness to what happened. Amen? Some people wrongly believe that if they forgive someone, then they are turning a blind eye or ignoring what happened to them. And that's just not the truth. Amen? They believe that this would in fact be excusing that sinful act that occurred to them. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not turning a blind eye. To clarify something that I want everyone to understand, we're talking about willful blindness. We're not talking about the unconscious blindness that we were just talking about with repression. We're talking about willful blindness being completely different from that of repression. Amen? Blindness is a conscious choice to pretend that something never happened. That's a conscious choice. That's a choice that someone knowingly made, that they're choosing to say that, well, that just didn't happen or it didn't happen that way. Repression is usually unconscious and involuntary. But either way, whether you're talking about denying or through repression or a willful blindness, both can be psychological damaging. Amen? They're psychologically harmful to us. What do? They delay us to coming to terms with our own responsibility to forgive. Amen? And we do have to understand that forgiveness is a Christian responsibility. If we have been forgiven by Christ, and if we are a Christian, we absolutely have been forgiven by Christ, amen? Then we have the responsibility to forgive one another. It doesn't mean that we only have the responsibility to forgive other Christians. That's not what it means. When Christ forgave us, were we Christians? No. We were enemies with Christ. We were sinners. We were at odds with God at the time. God showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? We have a responsibility as a child of God. If we claim the title of Christian, we have a responsibility to forgive. And if we repress or we deny or we try to have blindness about the event, that delays that responsibility that we have to forgive. And what usually happens, the very one that is trying to forgive the offense, but in reality is just pretending that the event never happened, 9 times out of 10, they will eventually explode, and more often than not, they become an offender themselves. Amen? All that pent-up anger, all that pent-up grudge, it all comes to the surface, and they explode, and they become the offender. It's not healthy. All because they were not being true to the pain that difficulty, that harm caused. Amen? I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Most of us are familiar with 1 Corinthians 13. That is the great chapter on love. And in it, the Bible tells us that love keeps no record of wrongs committed. Amen? It's a wonderful thing. Love keeps no record of wrongs committed. But God did not mean for us to be blind to those wrongs. Amen? That's not what it's talking about. Keeping a record of wrongs is different from being blind to those wrongs. Complete forgiveness does not pretend that the wrong is not there.
Amen? What God is saying in 1 Corinthians 13 is that love does not store up, or love does not keep a running tally of wrongs. Amen? You know how it is, husband and wives, when we get into an argument, what do we always do? We bring up that tally, that mental tally that we keep in the back of our mind of everything that the other person did wrong, don't we? Amen? That's not love. And that's what God is saying here. Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't keep a running tally of all the wrongs that the other person has done. A sin, a wrong, is not to be denied. Amen? It has to be acknowledged. Plain and simple. We cannot pretend that something didn't happen. That's not forgiveness. Amen? The eighth thing that forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is also not forgetting. Everybody's familiar with the term forgive and forget, right? We've all heard it. We all have heard that term, forgive and forget. And I absolutely understand what the phrase is trying to say. Amen? But think about it for a second. Is it possible to literally forget something painful that has happened to us? It's not, is it? It's not. Especially something traumatic, something that has really cut us deeply. It's impossible for us to literally forget that thing happened. It's not realistic. We also need to understand that love does not erase our memories, right? We may love our spouse, but we still remember some of the things they did, some of the things they said. It's there. It's in our memories. But what we need to understand, it's when we are fully aware of what happened. It shows a much deeper grace when we choose to forgive on that level. Amen? Think about it. How much greater grace do we extend to that person when we know fully well what they did and yet we still offer forgiveness? It shows a deeper grace. It's expressing God's grace at that level. Amen? We need to understand that God doesn't literally forget our sins. Amen? Hebrews 8:12. God simply chooses to overlook our sins. He says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Amen? God knows fully well what we did. He knows every nasty and awful detail of all the horrible things that we have ever done. But what does He do? He chooses not to remember them. He knows what we have done, but on the other hand, He simply chooses not to remember them, so as not to hold our sins against us. Amen? How wonderful is that? How precious is that? And this is exactly what we have to do to one another. We may not be able to forget what they did, but we have to choose not to remember it. Not to keep bringing it up. Amen? That's exactly what God has done to us. He knows every wretched detail, but He chooses to cast our sins into His sea of forgetfulness. Amen? And that's what we have to do with one another. The ninth thing that forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is also not refusing to take what someone did seriously. We cannot truly forgive until we clearly see and we clearly understand how serious that offense was to us. Amen? How serious in nature that was. Some believe that in order to forgive, they have to minimize the wrong or the sin that was done against us. That's not correct. That's not biblical. Amen? We are not to minimize what happened to us. That's only avoiding the problem. It's not forgiveness. Amen? Again, how much greater is it to acknowledge the true seriousness of what happened and yet still offer forgiveness? Amen? How much greater is that? And this is exactly what God does toward us. Amen? There is no sin too great for God to forgive. And we need to understand that God knows exactly what we have done. And He knows exactly what He has forgiven us for doing. And yet He still forgives us. Amen. He doesn't say, well, you know, that sin wasn't so bad. I can easily just wash that sin away, does He? Not at all. Every sin is horrific in God's eyes. God is completely righteous and holy, and every sin is a grave offense against God. Jesus had to die for our sins to show us just how serious sin is. Amen? We see example after example in the Old Testament. When people sinned, they were put outside the camp and many were stoned to death. God had to show us, God had to illustrate to us just how serious sin is. And the ultimate price was paid by Christ on Calvary's cross. Amen? God does not pass sin off as insignificant. God does not minimize what we have done. But yet, praise God, He completely forgives us. Amen. So complete forgiveness is not approval of what someone did to you. It's not excusing what they did to you. It's not justifying what they did. It's not pardoning what they did. Forgiveness is also not reconciliation. It's not denying what happened to you. Forgiveness is not a willful blindness to what happened. It's not forgetting what happened. It's not refusing to take the wrong seriously. And lastly, forgiveness is not pretending that you're not hurt. Amen? Forgiveness is not pretending that you're not hurt. We need to be real about pain. We need to be real when someone has hurt us. It's not possible to think that we can act like it doesn't hurt when someone has cheated on us or has betrayed us or has molested us or even has just talked about us. Amen? It's not possible to pretend that we weren't hurt in any of those actions. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, God calls David a man after His own heart. Amen? Most of us are familiar with that fact. God calls David a man after His own heart, but in that same passage, we also read that God did not let David off. He let David know fully well how grieved he was over David's infidelity, over David's adultery, and over David's murder. Amen? Yes, God called David a man after His own heart, but He also let David know how deeply David's actions hurt him. God did not pretend that He wasn't hurt by David's actions. Amen? Another example in the New Testament. In the Gospel of John, chapter 18, we read about how the Bible describes when Jesus was on trial, right before His crucifixion. And Jesus was standing before the high priest. And we read in John 18 that one of the high priest's officials came up and he struck Jesus square in the face. There's no doubt that Jesus felt that pain. He was obviously hurt, and Jesus even asked, He said, "Why did you strike me?" Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, listen to what it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How many of us would put joy and the sufferings of the cross together? Amen. But listen to what God is saying here. Who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What God is telling us here is that we need to see how Jesus endured the cross, how he scorned the shame rather than deny it. Amen? At no point ever in the Bible do we read where God tries to deny what Jesus went through. God puts it all out there. He shows us how much Christ suffered. He shows us how much he endured. He shows us how much it hurt. And Jesus endured it, and he scorned the shame rather than deny it. And yet he was still able to say, Father, forgive them. Amen. It was my sin and it was your sin that put him on that cross, and yet he was able to say, Father, forgive them.